Did you watch this week's episode? No, you didn't? Well, you're in luck because we did.
And we're miserable. Welcome to Here for the Cocktail Party. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ryan. Here's a down and dirty recap to fill you in on what's happening on Katie Thurston's season. Oy.
Not enough cocktails could get me through this episode. So I just drank white wine. I finished the bottle. And I just ended up drunk tweeting towards the end.
Yeah. We are on Hometowns, which Sean knows. And if you listen to us, you know that Hometowns are my most favorite thing. But we haven't had real Hometowns and, you know, fake homes that the producers pick out for these lovely contestants. We've had families come to where they are. So we had some Hometowns in New Mexico. And they did the thing where it was like, they brought the hometown to New Mexico like they did for Tayshia's season and Matt's season, I guess, because our first one up is Blake and he is Canadian. And I was just thinking about how the producers and like set designers or whatever were like, well, thank God we have Serena's Canadian set from Matt's season, because I swear it was like the same flag, the same like moose head. Some maple syrup. It was like they didn't have to do any thinking. They just recycled her hometown date.
They pulled all of the props out of storage and were like, perfect, Blake. We're so glad you made it this far because now we don't have to spend a dime. The one thing I was so happy about is they did the maple syrup tasting rather than poutine, because I swear if they brought out poutine and made it the exact same date, I would have lost it.
Yeah, they switched it up slightly, so that was nice of them. Yeah, I mean, everything goes fine. They have a good connection, and they're, like, making out outside while they're playing hockey, and we see Greg out on the balcony watching, and he's like, I wasn't meant to see that. It's like, no, Greg, you were meant to see that. That's why they told you to go out on the balcony.
They 1,000% planted that. The producers are really effed up, but Greg sees the whole fucking thing. And here we go with sad boy Greg again. Like, he...
Sad boy. We're foreshadowing here. So then we get to the night portion with Blake, and Katie is going to meet Blake's mom, his sister, and his brother. And Blake's mom is in like pleather pants, and Katie is in a flower dress with one of those half cardigans from 2002, but like not the good kind. What's going on?
I think what really just pissed me off was, one, they gave her that cardigan, but two, then she was like so light on the makeup that she did look like a teenage girl. I'm like, can we just give her a smoky eye? Like, can we make sure that this is like legally like contract abiding, like consent worthy? Because Katie looks like she is playing little girl and Blake is playing daddy, and I don't want that fantasy up in my head. Sorry to get all like fucked up on you.
Well, Blake's mom was just dressed like better than her, and she doesn't have a stylist. So anyway, moving on. I know I keep harping on Katie, and we all understand that it's not good. But another thing about Blake's mom that made me laugh was that last season, we said that Bree's mom looked like Kathy Najimy from Hocus Pocus, but I think Blake's mom looks even more like Kathy Najimy. And it's just, they just keep getting all these bachelor moms that look like Kathy Najimy. Where are they finding them?
At this point, we just need Kathy Najimy to actually just stage as one of the moms.
100%.
So we know that this isn't really Kathy Najimy.
So the mom, you know, they have a chat. Everything's just really smooth in this hometown. That's why it's first, because they're all like in good spirits about what's going on. Except Blake's sister is like, so first of all, she's serving like Bindi Irwin realness in that like safari romper.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God. I didn't even make the connection, but now that you say it, it is so perfect.
But I,
all she needed was the Australian accent at that point.
Yeah, like a hat. But I think her name was Taylor. Good for Taylor, because she's like, so you met Claire and you loved her. You met Tayshia and you loved her. Now you meet Katie and you love her. I'm like, lay it down. Lay it down, Taylor. Lay it down.
Taylor, you are laying down the smackdown. And I swear they could have just like had like a halftime segment where they put up a wrestling rink and they just like smack down like WWE style, because she is delivering cold hard truths. And she's like, well, if you fucking love her, well, then you better go say it to her before someone else does.
Yeah, she says that. And then the mom says to man the fuck up and tell her that you love her. I'm like,
yes,
I can hang with Blake's family. They seem like a real hoot.
You know, this would be one of those friendships where you actually get along with the family more than you get along with the person. So you like sneak into the house when you know, like, Blake is out somewhere with his bros, so you could just, like, hang out with the family. Like, that would be my friendship with Blake.
I support this. Yeah, so everything's great. Blake doesn't end up saying that he loves her because he's afraid of the love word, and he says love during a segment, like, 80,000 times. But I guess Katie really doesn't mind, or I don't know, because she tells Blake's mom, as she tells every other parent that she meets this episode, that she's saving telling the person that she loves them until they are the last one. And so what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I didn't like when Ben Higgins was telling people left and right, like, oh, I'm falling in love with you. So I actually commend Katie on doing this, because she wants to at least keep the hurt to a minimum. And I think that's what she's trying to do. So I'm on board with it.
I agree. I think it's commendable. And I think she understands that there are like feelings involved. And when you're laying it all out on the line and you're doing that with numerous people, it makes it less special, if you could even say any of this is special. But when you're like watching it back and you're like, oh, you told like 15 guys you love them, but now we're supposed to get married. So I don't know. I get it. Like I'm with you. What? Well, we'll see how someone else does not understand that perspective as we get further into the episode.
But next up, we go straight to Justin's hometown, which I'm like, oh, Justin's next? Okay, this is very interesting.
I didn't even know where Justin was from.
Yes, me neither until this episode. But it starts off with him FaceTiming his parents, and his parents are like, no, we don't really support this, so we are not coming. And here we go with a smackdown 2.0 of the parents just saying goodbye.
It wasn't even FaceTime. It was a phone call.
I swear there was faces involved.
No. He was holding the phone sideways. It was on speakerphone. The mom was like, not only am I flying my ass to fucking New Mexico from Baltimore, because yes, that's where he's from. We found that out. But like, My ass is not being seen on this dumbass show.
That's what she wanted to say, but I think the producers were like, ma'am, you can't say that. Like, can you just say like, oh, we're worried about COVID and like.
No, they did not mention COVID once. She was just straight up like, I don't get it. And then the dad was like, we love you. We'll support you. But like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about this. Love you. Bye.
So, kudos to Justin for just wiping that off and going straight to the date. And this is where he is taking Katie to Baltimore, which I really don't know how the producers were trying to pull this off, but they didn't. And I love that they just threw one graffiti wall in there and was like, this is Baltimore.
You don't love graffiti on a fake brick wall? Who doesn't love that?
In the middle of the desert.
And then you could tell that they like barely know each other. And Justin is a nice enough guy. This is the most I've heard him speak this entire season. So like I couldn't judge him this entire time because I didn't know anything about him. But they like at one point are talking about if they like blue cheese or ranch dressing better. And it's like, guys, that's a fun thing to talk about once you get to know each other. But do you know anything else about each other?
Well, now we know that they are both blue cheese girls.
That's right. We so thankful I know that about them, him now.
I mean, now I'm like, okay, Justin, well, now I don't like you because I'm not a blue cheese girl, so we can't be friends, I guess.
So they just make out because clearly they have nothing else to talk about. And she's like, all right, let's just like kiss, I guess. Then we get to the nighttime portion. And thankfully, Justin does have his two friends there to support him since his parents peaced out. So that was nice. And I think I was texting you and our friend and I was like, I've learned and heard from Herb in the 3 minutes he was on my television screen more than Justin this entire season. So I feel like I know him better.
Yeah, I feel like the best friends actually kind of gave it to Katie. And in a sense, it's like, well, now we know you. And now it's like, we can create this friendship. But Justin, we still don't really know anything. But, you know, it's off. Obviously, it's going to be because this is the most screen time Justin has ever gotten. But this motherfucker, at the end, is like, I'm falling in love with you. What?
I know. He has the balls to say it. And he's talking to his friend, or Katie is talking to our friend Herb. And he's like, I've never seen him this happy or like showing emotion this way. And Katie's like, yeah, you know, he doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve. And I just want to be like, can we flashback to all of the memes created with Justin and his like amazing facial expressions? If that's not wearing your emotions on your sleeve, like I literally don't know what is.
Yeah, I don't know. It just
expressing emotions verbally. Yes, apparently that's very true, but like you could definitely tell what he's thinking at all times.
1,000%. And the fact that the friends are like, I've never seen him this happy, I'm like, is it because he's been basically on vacation for like 12 weeks or like what is it? Because it's not the love between them.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, obviously, everybody knows that he's not a contender, and I still am baffled that he stayed over Andrew S. So, I don't know. Hopefully, Justin goes to paradise, and, you know, we learn more about him, because he seems like an all right dude. But I just don't know why he's still here. I don't think he knows why he's still here either.
He's here to make it to paradise. And I just don't think he realizes that he would have made it on paradise after like episode 4. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Good old Justin. Well, anyway, that was like pretty uneventful because I was just watching it being like, they're never going to end up together. So let him go home with his friends.
Exactly. And so, last but not least, sad boy Greg is up for the one-on-one. And I have to say, this date kind of sucked.
I mean, she walked over to him and he looked like he was like over it before it even started. And so he takes her to like the Jersey Shore, I guess, the boardwalk. And he's like, I brought this tandem bike to ride. And she's like, I've never ridden one of these before. And he's like, yeah, me neither. I'm like, oh, great. I'm glad they're giving you an activity that represents your hometown and like a taste of your childhood with something you've never done before. This is great. Thank
A
you.
A plus material.
But then she says something that I can never forgive her for. And she's like, I don't think I've ever had an Italian ice. And I was like, girl, I know for a fact there's probably Italian ice places in Seattle. This is unforgivable.
Uh-oh. If you weren't already on her bad side.
That cardigan and you never eating Italian ice before really pushed me over the edge. Then after the Italian ice debacle, they go to play basketball, and he says it's something that he used to do with his dad a lot, and we know that his dad passed away recently, and he said he hasn't played since then. So he wanted to, like, do a sentimental moment with her about his dad, like she did on their one-on-one. And what got me here was they seem to have pretty, like, extensive conversations about their dad's passing away. And she's like, what was your dad's name?
Yes, yes, yes. She does it.
After all this time, they didn't know each other's, like, dad's names that they talked about extensively? That, like, threw me for a loop. I was like, what?
I was kind of thrown off by that, too, because it's... I feel like this is, like, the corner... like, one of their cornerstones in their relationship. And you're telling me that you don't know his dead dad's name? Like, I feel like that's just, like, a no-no, and it's, like, should be called off now.
So, anyway, yeah. And then, because nothing makes Greg happier than fake rain, for some reason it fake rains again. I'm telling you, this kid, like, fucking loves fake rain. The grin on his face during every fake rain scene is the only time he's sincerely happy being there.
1,000%. I was about to say, it's like, there's one thing that makes him happy, and he's like, producers, this is what I want for my date because I want to feel happiness in this 99% depression.
I love fake rain.
And obviously it represents the Jersey Shore, right?
Yeah, I mean, it rains, but just out of left field. So they make out the fake rain and he is happy because he loves it.
And then we go to the night portion. So I feel like this was just like a very telling moment in their relationship when like each one of them were talking to like his mom and his friends. And I think something goes off in Greg's brain and like the light bulb is like flickering on and he finally found his thought process.
Yeah, I mean, it started off really nice. And like, you could tell Katie was excited and nervous to meet them more so than the other two, their family and friends. She brought the mom flowers. I'm like, I don't think she brought Blake's mom flowers. Like, she was like really trying to put on the best show for them. They have a video from his sisters who couldn't be there. So they're like really pushing that, you know, wow, what a love story. Like, they just really like each other. And they talk about how they haven't seen him this happy since his dad passed away, and they can't believe he's actually talking about his dad to her. So it's like all of these really positive things. And as an audience, you're like, wow, this is nice. Like, you know, maybe Greg's just, he's going through some stuff that he hasn't really processed yet, and it's like hard for him to show it. And you're on a television show, so like that has to be even harder, which, mind you, was his own by choice. But still. But then you're right. Like, I think once he sits down with his mom and he's like pretty much telling his mom how much he loves her and how like she's the one and like she's his girl and blah, blah, blah. And the mom's like, oh, well, has she like said it to you? Has she said that she loves you? And he's like, no, but I know it. And it's like, it was like at that moment where it was like, ooh, you're not so confident about that anymore, are you, dude?
It was like he started off the sentence strong and then he just like whimpered back like the sad dog that he is.
Yeah. So they leave the family and he sits down with Katie and he pretty much like expresses to her that he's in love with her and he's, you know, really emotional and teary about it. And then it like switches and he's like, but... like, I can't get down on one knee if I don't know those feelings are reciprocated. And then there's, like, the longest awkward silence I've ever seen on this show. And she just, Katie just goes, I just love looking at you. What?
I'm like, girl, really? Like, you couldn't say one other compliment. Like, that's the compliment that comes out.
And, like, at this point, I don't think she told him what she had said to his mother about, like, not saying she was going to use the love word until she chose her final guy. So, like, she could have brought that up. She could have just tried to express herself in a way that would, like, help him understand, like, her perspective and, like, her point of view. But she wasn't doing that. I guess she was a little caught off guard, so give her the benefit of the doubt. But then, like, Greg gets all weird about it. And, like, you see this other weird side to him where I felt like I was just watching, like, an actor getting into his character.
Yes. And I feel like there's, like, a flip that switched and his true colors come straight out. And all I kept saying to myself was, like, man, Greg, just go to therapy. Like, it would benefit you so much because these emotions are coming out of nowhere. And what are you trying to do?
He has a lot of emotions. And then they go into, like, the shadows and they're having another conversation. And she's like, I mean, she's reassuring him as much as she can in this situation. She's pretty much like, he already knows that she told his family that he's getting a rose next week. And, like, she keeps telling him to hang in there. And he just goes, I'm not losing trust. I'm losing my shit here. That made me giggle. I was like, okay.
Okay, Greg. Okay. Back up. And then, of course, he's like, I'm not just another rose. Like, I want to know you have feelings for me. I'm like, bro, the whole show is that you get a rose. So just calm down and get a damn rose.
Yeah. So they, like, leave on a bad note. And of course, we continue the conversation in the next day because, like, he's still not over this. And she's like, why are you unhappy? Why are you sad? Your body language, blah, blah, blah. And then I think she finally tells him how she's not gonna say she loves anybody. And then he gets into that whole, like, this is real life. Fuck the rose. If this is real, it's real. I'm like, okay. Now he's like, he went home and he practiced the monologue even more and was ready for his call time today to, like, really give it to her.
And boy, does he give it to her. I mean, he just goes off. And then, he dramatically exits the room after Katie tries to reason with him. And here we go with them just going down this staircase we all know so yeah. well. And I'm like, this staircase has gotten more airtime than Justin has.
100%. I was thinking the same thing.
So then they're outside and she's like leaning up against him and she's like, please don't be like this. Like, she still doesn't give her emotions. Like, I wanted to say, like, she said, I like you, but she didn't even say that. And I'm like, I know you're not trying to say that you love somebody, Katie, but you could say that you like them a lot.
Yeah. And I think the disconnect for him was, like, she was using all the terminology from the show. Like, you're getting a rose next week. I'm validating you in this way. And he just wanted it to feel more real and, like, vocabulary from her mouth as opposed to, like, these trigger Bachelor Nation words. So, like, I kind of get that. Like, I understand his perspective, but, I mean, you said it. Like, he's on the show. So he kind of had to figure that this is how it was going to go down. Unless he watched the last season of The Bachelorette and was like, but Claire left with Dale after, like, two episodes. I thought that's what was going to happen this time.
I thought you were going to pick me after three episodes and we're going to go home and be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, like, fucked up. I think they actually do really like each other. So it was quite the dramatic ending. And she's sobbing in the bathroom. And Caitlin comes in to talk to her. And at first she was, like, really mean and short to her. And I was like, don't be mean to Caitlin. She's just trying to help you out, girl. Like, what if you had Chris Harrison right now trying to knock on the door to talk to you? It'd be 10 times worse.
It would be like, Katie, are you in there? I'd be like, Katie, let's talk about it. Like, that's literally, Caitlin kneeled down in the bathroom, like, gave us a whole, like, girlfriend yes. moment and was like, girl, I got your back. Chris Harrison would never kneel down. He'd be like, well, I'll be outside with Neil Lane when you have
yeah, he'd be like, I'll be in my trailer drinking whiskey. Can you just decide if you want to stay or leave? Thanks.
Thanks. And then be like, this is the most dramatic season ever.
Yeah, so we stand Caitlin and her friendship.
But that's the end of the episode, other than the sad montage of Katie and Greg's life at the end, which I'm like, wow, I don't even understand why you would even put that in there.
But... I think I know why. Do you want to hear my theory?
Okay, yes, this is a good theory moment.
One of the producers just got done watching La La Land, and they were like, you know what would be really great? A montage of what could have been, because that's what's at the end of La La Land.
Oh my god. They're like, that was a critically acclaimed movie, so let me have my end scenes win an Emmy.
Yeah, they're trying to have, like, an Oscar moment. But yeah, no, I don't. That was so fucking weird. I've never seen that before, ever.
It was almost as weird as, like, the dog scene of, like, them playing on the fears of that one girl.
Oh, my God. Like, the wasn't it? It was, like, dogs and then amusement park rides. It was, like, yes. Honestly, though, that's when the show had, like, a fucking sense of humor. Because they added in footage and, like, ambient noises of, like, carnivals and stuff. And I was dying. Like, they don't do that shit anymore. It's the worst.
I think the producers just need to, like, travel and they'll get their inspiration back.
Yeah, we got to get them out and about at some point. This is getting too much. Yeah.
Oh, but yep, that's the end of the episode, and we're just gonna dive into the good, the bad, the ugly. And the good, we love another Kathy Najimy moment.
Love it.
We need to have, like, where they all line up and she just shows up and is like, oh, are you auditioning to be Kathy Najimy? Like, perfect opportunity.
She should be the new host.
Absolutely. Because then these moms would come in and she'd be like, oh, hey, twin.
What's up, girl? Bitch stole my look.
And then the bad was Justin's parents are no-shows. And I mean, it's bad, but it's good because that was good television.
I know. I felt bad for him, though. Like, at the end of the day, you want your parents there, I guess, and something you think that they should be there for. And they were just straight up said no. But he seemed to handle it okay.
And then the ugly is Greg and his audition for The Bachelor and an Emmy.
And a Christmas Hallmark movie, but not the one on the regular Hallmark channel, the one on the Movie and Mysteries channel.
1,000%. He can't go mainstream yet. Then we would know it's an act. So he has to go on the Mysteries and Movies channel first, and then he'll make his debut.
Greg.
Oh, Greg. But... with that, we are dubbing Greg the Cocktail King because, boy, did he give us a show. And I think after practicing his monologue in a few shots, he was able to deliver.
He was. He sure was. And for next week's cocktail, we're going with drink whatever the fuck you want because you deserve it. We made it through this season and all of those terrible styling choices. And it's 3 hours long. So we just have 3 more hours until we're lounging in paradise, which is what we all really want to be doing right now.
I just want to enjoy, like, a Mai Tai on the beach. I don't want to get, like, blackout drunk to make this bearable.
Katie. Katie.
Uh, You really tried. But with that, unfortunately, it's time to say goodbye. But join us next week when we dive into the 12-hour bazillion hour episode.
Until then, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Here for the Cocktail Party, all one word, for more content and cocktail recipes. And we'll see you next week for the finale. We made it.
Later.